Our dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the word and the strength and encouragement we get from it. And thank you for your grace, blessings. And we just pray this morning your blessings on the class that we might be edified and encouraged. For we thank you and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Isaiah 43. This kind of dovetails with Philippians 3:13, which we've been on. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past, and press forward. And be able to press forward in our Christian lives, we've got to learn how to and apply daily, forgetting the things that lie behind. We only have right now. That's all we have. Past is gone. Future's not here. So we only have today. And one of the techniques that you need to learn is how to live in today, this day. And it requires a great effort to do it sometimes. Well, it's just everybody gets caught up in regretting the past, things that went wrong. There's good times and there's bad times in the past. And it's not even good to hang on to the good times because we'll end up thinking, well, why isn't today good? And we're always measuring up today with yesterday. And we can't do that. We've got to just let it go, water under the bridge, that idea. Because if you don't, we get paralyzed for the present and for the future. Now, I've got a few different translations of this passage down. They're all different, but they all say the same thing. NASB, do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. NIV, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Forget the things that happened in the past, do not keep on thinking about them. Stop dwelling on past events and brooding over times gone by. Do not cling to events of the past or dwell on what happened long ago. And the NIV, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. They're all saying the same things. It's just a little bit different wording for each translation. The the first clause is, do not call to mind the former things. Zakar is our word, and Zakar deals with intellectual activity with reference to the past. It has an occupation with a person or situation. That happens if you have a love relationship that's gone bad, marriage that's ended in death or divorce, and you have a tendency to just dwell on that. And then, of course, we project that into the future, and we think, well, probably going to be more of the same. The mind plays tricks on you in this thing, and that's why, well, the Philippians 3 passage has the intensive use of the verb in both of them, forgetting the past and pressing forward to what lies ahead. And it's hard to do. I mean, we've all been there, and it's hard to press forward when you've had a checkered past. And it also has a participial form in the Greek, which tells us that we're to be constantly doing this as a way of life. So to have a healthy psyche, this is something that you have to apply. And you have to apply it every day. And some days it's going to be harder than others. But you have to force yourself to do that. The only thing about life is that life changes. Sometimes for the good and sometimes for the bad. But you can count on your life changing. So that's why it has the translations, call to mind, don't do that. Remember, don't do that. To recall, to recollect. And with the negative, remember not, forget the past, or forget the things that happened in the past. Forget the former things. Stop dwelling on past events. Now, somewhere in one of those translations, you should be able to find a verse that speaks to you, that you can take down the road with you and use it in your day-to-day living. I don't know if we can actually ever forget because of the way our minds work, but I think you have to balance that with eternity future. The things that has happened to us in the past are nothing compared to what's going to be ours in the future. So that's what we got to learn to hang on to is who we are, whose we are, and what we're going to end up being like. And new body, everything is going to be perfect, perfect peace and happiness every day. So in light of that, what we're going through now is nothing, nothing at all. Now, every believer goes through things in life that sometimes are good and sometimes they're bad. And the key to successful living and is how our soul deals with this stuff. And I can't emphasize this enough, because even after the class is over, the dynamic that's going on in your mind, soul, it just keeps going on. How many of you have thought about your childhood growing up? Ever think about that? That your parents were less than stellar? You ever think, let that stuff get through your head? Yeah. Friendships gone, marriages gone, people you know and care for died. It really gets a bit much, and I can tell you this, that as you get older, you got more water under the bridge, so you really have to apply this. And if you do, you'll be able to put a smile on your face. If you don't, you won't have it. If we think about the failures that we've had in life, or what we had and lost, what we never got that we wanted, oh my gosh, that's such a rich playground for wickedness to mess us up. You see, when you had something that you really liked and lost it, that's going to impact you, whether you know it or not. You've got to learn how to handle that. Or what you wanted but were denied having, house in the suburbs, loving marriage, all of those sorts of things, and you never got them. Like a lot of people are waking up now to the realization that they're not going to be able to. They put off retirement from 55 to 65, now 70. Now they're finding out they're 70 years old and they can't retire. They have to keep working. Well, that's the federal government messed that up. And when you start to wake up and you realize, my gosh, I'm going to have to keep working till I die. Well, that's a bummer. Of course, a good change, but it's doubtful, so we're going to have to change to go with it. So what we got to learn to do is forget the things that lie behind. There's nothing better that you can do with it, just forget. And don't allow yourself to dwell on them, because that's when you get into Operation Overthink and you just start to go down the hill. So There's two places that you apply this. Afterwards, you know, after the damage is done, and while you're going through it. I used to be, as a little kid, I'd sit in the living room and all the old women would be talking, and they'd talk about, well, Aunt Ida and all of these different people I never knew, and they'd get a tear in their eye. Well, that was a life they had 20, 30 years before, somewhere in Missouri. And I understand it as an adult, but at the time I thought, well, the sun's shining, it's a great day, let's go enjoy the day. Well, they're remembering the past, aren't they? Remembering loved ones that they lost and had, or the loved ones they never got to see their children that died grow up. It affects you. I kind of like the idea of, on that note, on Memorial Day, they actually made a trip out to the graveyard, put some flowers down on the grave, and remembered the loved one that they lost and buried. And they didn't go on about it every day. They just, once a year, went out and did it. So I kind of think that was a healthy approach to things. They didn't forget them, but they didn't dwell on it. You know. We used to celebrate our military, and they'd have Air Force, Army, Navy bands going through town, and they had a big spiel about it. I haven't seen one of those in decades, but it's a way of remembering our boys. But you didn't dwell on it. You have to go on with the business of life. So the problem is, if we'll rob ourselves of every blessing that God has in the present and in the future as well, if we're still going on and thinking about the past, we're not going to have any room in the present for enjoying His grace blessings, because God does. Look, if you're alive, God has got blessings in store for you till the day you die. So whatever those blessings are, they're from God's hand, so it should be something special. But if we're always moaning about what we've lost or didn't get, we're not going to enjoy them. So it's important for us to do this. And I speak to an older crowd who's been through years of my teaching. And because you're this old, by the way, you get older, you can get older if you apply doctrine. You'd be surprised how much the application of doctrine, the benefits for your soul and your physical well-being as well, if you're interested. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I think all of us are going to, when we stand judgment by God, He's going to show us the blessings we could have had that He had in store for us, but we didn't. Now, it's up to each one of us individually. Do we want these things for our lives? Do we want to enjoy? And I can tell you by way of experience, just the last 5 years, after going through so much, that one of the things that motivated my faith was that very thing. If I'm not dead, means I'm alive. And if I'm alive, it means that God's plan is still going on for me. So maybe a word of encouragement to all of you. Don't give up the ship. Don't back down. You've got to literally force yourself to do this, because that's what the Greek parallel passage on that matter speaks about, is the idea of forgetting and pressing forward are both present participles, which means that you've got to learn to adopt this as your way of life. You've got to. Just consider David, after he sinned against God, and he was begging God and everything else to save his child's life. And when the child died, he got up, took a bath, went in and made love, and all the advisors thought, what? This is not normal behavior. What's with him? He says, when he was alive, who knew? Maybe God would spare his life. But he didn't. You have to go on. It's a healthy approach. And too often we get it twisted. We do the other. And that's not good for us. So this is a technique that you've got to learn and master in your life. Forgetting the things that lie behind, pressing forward to what lies ahead. We can't allow ourselves to ponder the past or dwell on the things gone by. We just can't do that. And if we're doing that, catch yourself, confess it to God, and stop it. You got to have a healthy approach. Because I can guarantee you this, that in life, you're going to have a lot of disappointments. A lot of them. You're going to lose friends and money and status and all these things. You're never going to reach your goals, the things that you had planned for your life. Like Job says, my plans are torn apart, even the deepest desires of my heart. Oh gosh, that's a hard one, because in our heart is where we treasure these things. We don't tell anybody about them. They're just too special to share. And we're afraid that somebody will make fun of it or something. So we just keep them locked up in our hearts. And when those are wiped out and destroyed, it's a crisis. Because everything that you live for is gone. Think about them apples. Everything that you live for, everything that kept you going forward in life, your forward momentum was all over that, and that's gone. Shredded desires of the heart. And there's only one way to handle that, and that's with this idea here. Do not call to mind. Do not ponder things of the past. Do not dwell on them. Don't even think about them. And when you do, when you catch yourself, you got to stop it. And you got to start having a healthy approach. And mine was to realize that God's plan for my life is still going on because I'm alive. And he's got blessings. He saved me for the purpose of blessing me. So we have to learn to live in the present, not the past. Concerning the past, what do we do with them? Forget it. I've stood in that pulpit hundreds of times, going through hell on earth, and I realized, wait a minute, there are times that I stood in that pulpit that I wasn't. Nothing changed except experiential thing going on in the brain. And the power lies in your thinking. What are you thinking about? Well, I know what we're supposed to be thinking about. What is that? The Word of God. The promises. The teachings. That's what we're to be thinking about. Not the failures of our past. Anybody ever play baseball? Well, we've got the general idea. You grab a bat and you try to hit the ball. How many times did you hit it, and how many times did you miss? Same thing in life. Somebody I know, he told me that I like this healthy approach. He said, just because, speaking of marriage and divorce, just because I had a bad pizza doesn't mean I'm going to stop eating pizza. That's one of those ways of looking at life. So remember ye not, forget the things that happened in the past, forget the former things, stop dwelling on past events. Job 29:2, Oh that I were as in months gone by, as in the days when God watched over me. Okay, that's what he was feeling at that moment. But why? Why was Job feeling that way? He didn't feel that way the months ahead of that time. He just started feeling that way then. Well, if you remember, Job lost all 10 of his children. He lost his money, his business, his reputation. He lost it all. So it's normal, it's natural to wish that it was in days gone by, right? When my children were around me. That's very poignant. When my children were around me. But they're not around them. They're dead and in the ground. And Job was a great doctrinal man, the most mature man on the face of the earth. And this is what he was going through. And if he can go through it, we all can go through it. The Apostle Paul went through it, and it was his own doings. He regretted some things. Ended up failing, ended up in prison. That's a rough pill to swallow. So it's something that we have to learn to master. Hence the idea of the participial form. We've got to master it and apply it day after day in our lives. And when this stuff starts popping up in your head, and it will, I don't care who you are. You're a human being, it's just normal. But we've got to learn to apply the scriptures to the situation. We're not even to bring them to mind as a result of conscious determination. And we're not allowed to think upon them for a moment. We can't do that. We've got to learn to put this stuff out of our head. And looking forward, we have the promise that God is going to cause everything to work out for our benefit. And that's what you got to hang on to, for your benefit. Everything he does is to benefit you. And why is that? Because he loves you. And we can't allow ourselves to be dwelling on the good things of the past when we were surrounded by, I think a lot of times, of growing up on Lincoln Street, climbing the tree that was in the front yard. That's what I think about. When I was young and healthy and strong and all of that business, and I don't have that anymore. Well, you see, that was then. This is what? Now. If you're over 40, I doubt if you're the same guy or girl that you were 20, 30 years ago. You got problems with your bodies. And we have tendency to think about that and wish I had some of my health back. But we don't. And the problem is, when we go through hard times, we have a tendency to let that overshadow us. towards the future. Because if you're going through a bunch of junk right now, chances are you probably concluded that it's not going to end and it's going to be there tomorrow, next day, next month, whatever. And we can't allow ourselves to do that either. We can't ponder the past. We can't dwell on things of the past. We're not even allowed to bring them up. If we bring them up, we've got to dispel them immediately. One way you can dispel them is Romans 8:28. For we know that God causes all things to work together for good to them who love him, to them who are called according to his purpose. God actually, whether we're going through the good or the bad, is going to make that work out for good. Because that's what he does. He creates life out of nothing. And he can do it in your souls. This is probably more of a mature doctrine or maturing doctrine. You're not going to mature unless you apply it. So it's not only the doctrine for the mature, but also for those who are maturing. They got to learn to apply this in their lives. But when I say apply it, I mean do it. Happy are ye if you know these things, and you do, if you do them. The happiness, the joy, comes in the application, not in the knowledge thereof. Everybody all right this morning? Seems like a pall of gloom on the church. You're just concentrating. It's hard to tell. I have had friends for many years and lost them. In fact, all of them, except one. And you know what I did, how I had to look at it? Because this is what you're going to have to do in your own words, in your own way. The two of us were walking down the same path in our journey in life. And then all of a sudden, they sit down on a rock. Don't know what's going on. You go through all the backflips trying to figure this mess out. They tell you that they're just tired, they want to rest a while, but they don't. They end up not wanting to move on at all. What's with that? How do you handle that, especially if you're close to each other? Or maybe they get off the trail and they go down to this little village and start drinking and partying. Oh, they're going to catch up. Well, I'll be right up there, just wait. And you wait and wait, and they don't. So how do you handle that? Well, how you handle this is that you conclude that you're on a path and you have to get up and start walking again, whether they come with you or not. You're not leaving them behind. You're actually just going on with your journey. Now it's up to them to catch up to you or not. It's kind of a healthy approach of how you handle those people you're close to. And I've seen it repeated many times here in the church. People on the same path, we walk down that path, same goals, and we're just being blessed by God and enjoying each other's company and fellowshipping and the rest of it. And then something happens and we're not. So how do you handle that situation? Because it's going to happen to you. How do you handle it? Well, you realize that you're on the same path as you were before. For some reason, they've stopped walking along with you. So you have to get up and start going again. Now, you're not doing it out of rejection of them. You're doing it out of the fact that God has called you to keep moving forward in faith. And I've seen it so many times. People I've been friends with for over 20 years until we're not. And you go through all the mental aberrations and the backflips and the rest of it, trying to figure out what's happened, how do we get to this place, who's at fault, me or them. You know, you just go through that, and you realize you just got to get up and start walking by faith again, whether they're with you or not. That's the important thing, whether they're with you or not. And sometimes their path leads in a different direction. You just have to accept that. I've had that too. If we don't, we'll end up being despondent over our present situation. We'll go through all the emotional backflips, and it's just a snake's nest is all it is. It just messes you up. You got to kind of grab hold of yourself and be objective and just keep moving forward in faith. That's what you choose. Now, how does that leave the other person? That's what they have to choose, to keep moving forward in faith. Well, we have to remember that whatever we've gone through, whether good or bad, probably a lot of it's bad, God promised to make it work out together for our good, for our benefit. So that's what you have to grab hold of. Keep thinking about those ideas. Grappling with loss and overcoming it is crucial to not dwelling on the past. It's crucial. Anybody know what disappointment means? Well, it's the opposite of appointment, right? Appointment is the idea that you make decisions, you think about things, and you expect a certain result down the road. You have an appointment with the fulfillment of that idea. But what happens? Disappointment means you don't. You don't end up there. Raising a child, sometimes we're proud of our children, other times we're not. We put our whole lives into raising them little suckers, and they just go nuts out in the world system. That's repeated thousands of times just with the young men in prison. You think their mothers didn't try to raise them the right way? You did everything you could, and they ended up in prison. How do you deal with that? Or you put everything into your marriage and it ends up in a divorce. Or you have a child and the child dies. What was that about? We've lost a bunch of children in this church over the years. Not a bunch, but it's sad, it's disappointing. We pour our heart and souls into our marriages and end up dead or in divorce. And you've got to come up with the biblical answers to that yourself. You've got to come up with that. Because nobody else is going to do it for you. Nor can they do it for you. Sometimes people we love, if they will get old. And if they have their 70 years, we feel good about the idea that at least they had a long life. Or 80 by strength. If you lived 80 years, you've done some things right. But sooner or later, death catches up with us all. So at least we have that caveat that if we've lost a parent or a loved one, but they were old. You say, well, at least, like, mine were in their 90s when they died. And so that's a pretty long life. I mean, kind of helps a little bit in the grieving process. But whether they die young or old, if they're believers, they've gone on to be with the Lord. And with the idea that one day we will be reunited with him. I don't know if we'll recognize him. I never could figure that one out. How are you going to know? They're going to be in a perfect body. We never saw them in a perfect body. Last thing they remember, they were old and wrinkled. So who knows? And you didn't know their name either, because they'll be given a new name. But sometimes people we love leave us and go out in the world system, gratify their lusts, and everything you taught them and built into them is for what? So what's the redeeming factor in that? They go out in the world system, they're doing just the opposite of what you taught them to do. Well, the redeeming quality of that is when you had them in your home under your authority, you did it by the book. It's like ship's commander, captain of the ship. And he had a few guys that were troublemakers, but as long as they were under his authority, they towed the line. As soon as they transferred to another ship, they just went nuts. Well, at least you know that when you had them, they were under your control. So that's a good part of that. Me, the way I handle that is, people have free will, and they're allowed to make their own decisions. But as long as they're under my home and my authority, they abided by my rules. Now, they go out on their own, yee-haw, they're out the door having fun. But free will. One of the hard ones, extremely hard, is the phileo love relationship. Sometimes in the Christian life, you will have phileo love. A rapport love is one where the heart and soul are brought into the mix. And might have been a spousal situation, might have been a friend situation. So you have, as we would think of it, as having this love in your heart for these people, whether you're in love or just had a deep abiding friendship, but it was a love relationship in the heart. And when they take off to go gratify their lusts or what have you, when they do that, you're outside the pale of agape. You're in a different world altogether. And those hurt. I mean, they really hurt, because it affects you deeply within your heart. But we have to learn to accept the fact that people have free will and they used it wrongly and they went out into the world system and they really didn't care how it was affecting you as long as they got what they wanted. So what do we do about that? We have to realize that it's going to be painful to go through it for a while, but God is going to get you through it. And you recover the filling of the Spirit, you look at the whole thing from the agape standpoint, and you'll go through it, you'll make it. You'll learn some things in the process of doing this. Well, I think we'll stop here this morning. Father, thank you for the study. We pray a blessing in Christ's name. Amen.